Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Okay, 16. Yatra naikshreyasam nama. Vanam kamadugair drumahi. Savar tu shribir vibrajat. Kaivalyam iva murtimat. Yatra naikshreyasam nama. Vanam kama dugayar jumahi. Savar tu shribir vibrajat. Kaivalyam iva murtimat. Yatra, in the Vaikuntha planets, Naikshreyasam, auspicious, Nama, named, Vanam, forests, Kamadugai, yielding desire, Drumahi, with trees, Sarva, all, Ritu, seasons, Shribihi, with flowers and fruits, Vibrajat, splendid, Kaivalyam, spiritual, Iva, as, Murtimat, personal. Translation. In those Vaikuntha planets, there are many forests which are very auspicious. In those forests, the trees are desire trees. And in all seasons, they are filled with flowers and fruits, because everything in the Vaikuntha planets is spiritual and personal. Purport. In the Vaikuntha planets, the land, the trees, the fruits and flowers, and the cows, everything, is completely spiritual and personal. The trees are desire trees. On this material planet, the trees can produce fruits and flowers according to the order of material energy. But in the Vaikuntha planets, the trees, the land, the residents, and the animals are all spiritual. There is no difference between the tree and the animal, or the animal and the man. Here the word murtimat indicates that everything has a spiritual form. Formlessness, as conceived by the impersonalist, is refuted in this verse. In the Vaikuntha planets, although everything is spiritual, everything has a spiritual form, a particular form. The trees and the men have form, and because all of them, although differently formed, are spiritual, there is no difference between them. This is the spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual domain. It is different than everything material, and it is different from the spiritual, or rather the impersonal aspect of this, of perfection. The material realm is full of forms, is full of duality, is full of individual things that are different than other things. So there is variety in the material world, but that material variety is limited and imperfect. Limited because of so many rules, so many restrictions imposed by the structure of the material world. And that structure is maintained by the demigods, who don't allow us to disobey those rules, to go beyond what is called maryada, maryada vyatikramat, going outside the limits of what's allowed. And what's allowed is very strictly delimited. For something to happen in the material world, so many requirements have to be fulfilled. You have to go through a bureaucracy. Pay, bribe, fill out forms for every single thing. Just to fulfill the basic needs of life. Just to get some food, shelter, just to procreate. So much complication is involved. That's the material condition. Everything is hard to accomplish. But spiritual realm is just the opposite. There is no restriction. There are no limitations. Kama dugai drumai. Whatever you want, you can pick off of a tree. All desires are easily and even immediately fulfilled. And even though everything is the same, in the qualitative sense of everything is satchidananda, everything is non-different from the Supreme, and everything is non-different from everything else. But only in that theoretical sense of everything is purely spiritual. Material world, things are composed of different elements. One thing is made of water, another thing is made of earth. And the two are different. But in the spiritual world, everything is made of the same substance. Vishuddha sattva, which can be analyzed into three parts. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Everything has perpetual, undecaying existence. Nothing diminishes, nothing decays, nothing dies. Everything has consciousness. Everything is alive. Everything is personal. And that conscious existence is an existence of happiness, pleasure. That is the reality. And it's personal, murtimat. It's not just because everything is such an ananda that it's vague and formless. We're being allowed a glimpse into that Vaikuntha because we have some potential of being attracted. There's no sense casting pearls before swine or advertising the glories of Vaikuntha to the materialists. They won't understand it. They'll think that this can't be the spiritual world. The spiritual world has to be empty or formless. And this looks like just our world. There's many beautiful women, but you can't enjoy them. You know, they're all married. They're all goddesses of fortune. And even the husbands don't, you know, have sex with their wives. What's the use of such a place? You know, there's no bars, no movie theaters, no newspapers. Who wants to go to such a place? So the materialists are not going to be attracted. They'll just become operatis, offend Vaikuntha. So therefore, Vyasadeva has not arranged simply to buy, you know, advertising time on television. They did it. Somebody was advertising Govardhan, come to Giriraj Hills, fulfill all your desires. And people were coming by groves because they were advertising on television. But we don't see the Vedic sages advertising on television. There's no sense casting pearls before swine or advertising the glories of the spiritual realm to those who are so much engrossed in materialism they cannot be attracted, they cannot understand. Bhagavatam is giving a glimpse. Some of the other Puranas are giving a glimpse. Like Padma Purana tells quite a bit about Vaikuntha, and even Goloka are described in the Padma Purana, in the Uttarakhanda, the Vaishnava part. But that is for those who are ready to hear it. Nimatsaranam satam vedyam vastavamatrava. Here we have, in this book, this is the, Vastu Nirdesha. One kind of Mangalacharana, where you describe, you delineate what your topic is. So here in this book, the Bhagavatam, the most important things are discussed, vastavam, substantial. Not just, you know, how Nala and Damayanti, you know, had their love affair, you know, things like that are insubstantial. That's it. Nala Damayanti's story is not told in the Bhagavatam, right? Shakuntala's story is there, but that's to teach us renunciation. Nala Damayanti you can find out about in the Mahabharata, other Puranas, and other love stories, and other materialistically interesting stories. Bhagavatam doesn't include these stories. Vast of them. What's in this Bhagavatam is of substantial spiritual value. It will help you go back to Godhead, either positively or negatively. Some of the discussions in Bhagavatam are to attract us to Krishna, and some of them are to make that feasible by unattracting us to Maya, teaching us renunciation. Those two are the reasons why something is discussed in the Bhagavatam, either attraction to Krishna or renunciation of material interest. So that's the topic. And then the adhikari is defined, the person who is the proper reader of the Bhagavatam, student of the Bhagavatam. Nirmatsadanam satam. Actually, he says, first of all, paramahamsanam. If you're a paramahamsa, then we automatically admit you to the Bhagavatam. You don't even have to fill out an application. Paramahamsas are let in without a ticket. And the others, also, nirmatsadanam. At least you should be non-envious. If you can hear these things, even if your attraction is only a shadow attraction, at least if you're not offensive. If you're not envious, we'll let you in. We'll consider your case and probably let you in. If you're nirmatsara satam, if you're a saintly person, not envious, not likely to commit apparat against what you hear, then we'll let you hear it. So that is the qualification for the Bhagavatam hearing. At least you should accept it theoretically as the absolute truth and not deny that it can be the absolute truth. If you say the Bhagavatam must have been written by some poet who was trying to promote the bhakti cult, you know, by hook or crook, and he wrote this book, and the book was only written less than 1,000 years ago, and what it says inside the book about being written, being composed 5,000 years ago is just mythology. And the whole thing is just a pack of mythology. If you think like that, then you don't have the adhikar to hear. So those who have the adhikar to hear, I wouldn't advise them to go study Indology in the university, where you'll learn that the Bhagavatam was written 1,000 years ago by some mundane person, or by a whole committee, or just, you know, put together from various authors. Actually, they don't even present that theory seriously. The Bhagavatam is so consistent that even the critical scholars have to admit that it must have been written by one person. You know, it's such a unified whole and so elegantly written. It couldn't have just been thrown together from various bits and pieces. It must be a unified composition. Whoever wrote it must have been an exceptional person, this Hardy, who wrote this book I just read, on the bhakti of the Alwars. He said, whoever wrote the Bhagavatam, it must have been an amazing person to have been able to put this book together. You know, he's just amazed, you know, that the Bhagavatam seems to present the essence of Advaita philosophy. You know, it seems to be based on this Advaita concept, everything being one. At the same time, he's, you know, delving into the deep ecstasies of the gopis. So who is this person who wrote this book? What kind of person could have he been? So the mundane scholar is amazed. It must have been one person. That person must have been somebody quite unusual. That much they have to concede. But if we go and listen to them and become their students, then we will be in danger of getting infected with this doubtful attitude that the Bhagavatam isn't what it claims to be. Then we lose our adhikar. We'll get our PhD, but we'll lose our taste for actual Shravanam Kirtanam, maybe. Danger is there. So we try to avoid that by doing it ourselves and not depending on these mundane scholars. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.